When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OHIOFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OHIOFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Got an interesting new topic. It's May 12th. It's actually 12:30 a.m. on May 13th now, if we're going to timestamp this, where we're talking about the Ravens schedule. And, you know, first of all, what is that schedule? And then also, what are some of the pitfalls that the Ravens face in terms of the relative to divisional opponents? Here to discuss that with me is Jordan Coe. Jordan, how you doing?
Good, Ken. Good to be back with you.
It seems like it's been hours since we last did a show.
I mean, you're a whole day ahead of me, so.
There we go. All right. So, in the strictest terms, when I look at analyze the schedule, what I'm talking about is analyzing how the schedule makers impact the Ravens. So we're going to, of course, talk through what the Ravens schedule are, but we're not trying to handicap the games. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about whether or not something is a particular advantage for them or whatnot, but it's really the timing advantages we're going to be getting into, because the schedule makers still have a ton of control over teams' fates in an individual season by the way the schedule can seem to get stacked, and unnecessarily so year after year. I'm sure a lot of you folks have heard me complain about elements of scheduling. If you haven't before, I can probably remind you by the end of this episode that this has happened. But anyway, we're going to go through the schedule. So Jordan, why don't you take us through the games, and we'll kind of go back and forth here on what this might mean from a timing perspective.
Yeah, you know, and just, you know, off the top, Ken, it does feel like the schedule every year, the Ravens have some kind of structural disadvantage. I would love, you know, it's funny. It's one of those things where at this time of year, everybody's always talking about this. I'm sure for the most part, every team is usually griping about something that has gone wrong. I would love to go back and, like, no one seems to aggregate this data historically, right? Like, there are all these, right? Like, if you go out on social media right now, you can see all the charts of, like, the negative, like time games lost,
sure,
or like days of rest lost in games. And like, I would just be interested. There's a really interesting nexus of like predictions of like, one, how do you predict how those teams should have done in those games, and then find out the results of those and whether there's any influence or not, or whether it's just a bunch of like early May belly aching and we have not enough to talk about. So, you know, we really want to get into it. So I think that part of it's fun. But, you know, as we jump into this schedule, I think the first thing that jumps out to me is that, you know, we get to, like, we jump right into, I mean, the start of the season is the AFC East, like, mm-hmm, right off the bat. and we draw all those AFC teams, like, right out of the gate, all at early 1 o'clock games, which I think is, in a lot of ways, probably a good thing early in the season for the Ravens.
Yeah, so, you know, they start at the New York Jets. The last time that happened was in 2010, had a great 10-9 win there. Wasn't the greatest, prettiest football game, but it certainly had some fun fourth down football, some good hard hitting, and some good defensive plays in it. That was the opener for that stadium, yeah, for the New York Jets.
The Ray Lewis hit on Dustin Keller will always forever be in my mind from that game.
I loved it. Mark Sanchez was still the quarterback back then for the Jets, and he threw a fourth down pass, and the receiver stepped out of bounds a yard before the sticks without even trying to fight for that yard. He might not have gotten it, but it just was utter silliness the way it went down. So, an interesting one. They get Miami in week two at home this time, where they've had a lot of success against Miami. They've won the last four here against the Dolphins, including some big wins, a 40-0 win amongst those.
And I like both these games being early on the calendar. I think that there are advantages to two teams that have a lot of new faces, a lot of new things to integrate, a new head coach in Miami, a lot of new players in New York. And I think that they're both teams that could – I think that whole division is going to be close in general. So I think that playing them later in the year would have a little bit potentially more on the line for those teams, and they'd be a little bit more gelled or together potentially at that point in the season. So I like these games earlier in the year.
Right. I think you're right. I think it's good. And it's certainly good to stay on normal Sunday 1 o'clock time. Something about Sunday 1 o'clock football time that the schedule makers are not hosing you typically, as long as you're consistently going that way.
Out here in LA, I don't love that. This past season was great for us West Coast watchers, because we didn't have to get up for those 10 o'clock games. But I agree. I want to see a lot as many of these 1 o'clock as we can.
You strike me as a guy who occasionally sleeps till noon right there. But anyway, I know you're up late a lot. Week three at New England. Week four, home against Buffalo. So really odd. I think I remember them doing this against the NFC North once, that they played them on four consecutive weeks, or if it wasn't that, it was pretty close, maybe 4 to 5 weeks. But this is really weird to get four in a row like this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird to get four in a row. And it was peculiar to me that we don't get the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson matchup in any kind of primetime. They picked, and if I recall on the calendar, this is the week that Kansas City plays Tampa. I can't remember what the Monday night game is.
I'll get it for you. It's right here.
Oh, the Rams and Niners. Mm-hmm. So two huge games. So it struck me as, I get why those are the primetime games, right? Like, it's just odd that the schedule makers would put all three of these into the same week, when we could probably look around and find some other games that don't have as premium matchups.
It would have made a lot more sense to me to have Jackson, the Ravens in Buffalo as the Thursday game, than have Cincinnati be the Thursday game that week. And it has an implication, and the first really serious implication on the Ravens' schedule the following week, when the Ravens play Cincinnati, coming off their half bye. They play on a Thursday, then they get to wait 10 days to play the Ravens. Significant scheduling thing in the formula I use, that gives them a Thursday game is always good. That game is at Cincinnati. That game is at Cincinnati, correct? No. I'm sorry.
No. In Baltimore.
That game is at Baltimore. It's the Sunday game. I'm thinking ahead to the fact that the Ravens play on Thursday on the road. But anyway, it's a half bye that the Ravens are facing. Not as bad as a full bye, obviously, but still -3 in my scoring system. So that hurts the Ravens. You should expect to play one per year of those, because there's approximately 32 total. Thursday games. It might be 33. It's very close to 32. And when you have to play two teams coming off a half bye, you have been unnecessarily hosed by the schedule makers in terms of the timing. And that's what the Ravens got, because Carolina in week 11, similar type game, half bye.
I have never, and I get, I don't think that making the NFL schedule is easy. I that is not what I'm trying to say, but It strikes me as entirely peculiar that the first structural rule of this is that everybody that's coming off a bye is playing someone else coming off a bye. Like, mm-hmm. that there aren't any, like, that none of these structural things happen. Like, even you could even use the Thursday games and the byes to like offset that for everybody, but to do it for some people in some instances. So like when we'll talk about Baltimore and Carolina later, right? Like, to do it in some instances where that happens, but then in other instances where it doesn't. It has never made any sense to me, going back to even before the Thursday night games, why everybody that's on a bye is not playing someone. Like, if Kansas City and the Chargers are on the bye on the same week, like, they should play each other 2 weeks after that, right? Because there's no structural advantage to either team then.
Right, and that makes all kinds of sense. If you look at the AFC North buys this year, the Browns and Steelers have a bye in week 9. The Ravens and Bengals have a bye in week 10. What is the obvious, you know, scheduling thing you do after that? Well, you play the Browns and Steelers in week 10, and you play the Ravens and Bengals in week 11, but that's not the way it was set up. By the way, this is not a difficult set theory problem. So any mumbo jumbo that the league would give you with regard to, oh, you don't understand, there's 3.7 trillion possible combinations. No, bullshit. There's easy ways. It's like saying, you know, there's 9 factorial different baseball lineups. Well, a whole bunch of those are precluded by certain positions, you know, like designated hitter is usually not your number 9 hitter, for example, that kind of thing. So don't try not to tell me crap like that, or you just set me off, or maybe that's the goal for some people, but it's just really strange that they can't get this one right.
Well, and it's to me, I mean, I totally agree with you. And to me, it's one of those things where, like, there aren't a whole lot of other rules that you would have to create. It's just that, mm-hmm. you know, for people that are traveling internationally, like the week after they get back from traveling internationally, they're on the bye, right? Mm-hmm. Like teams that are on some kind of bye playing each other after they've been on a bye, like those rules, like there aren't any other rules. And I get there are a ton of iterations of everything else after that. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to figure out schedules and prime time and like all that kind of stuff. I get that. But like that aside, you can have a couple set of rules on the front end of that. And that is not an overwhelming restriction.
It's really not. And they've done a good job of improving scheduling over the years, but it's so selective that they continue to leave gigantic fuck ups in the middle of a process like this. So, for example, changing all the games in week 18 to be divisional was a huge positive for the thing. It creates a lot of balance, a lot of importance to those games potentially. Then they also do the thing where they have flexible scheduling last week and they make everybody play at the same time, so nobody can derive an advantage that way. So that's a positive thing. They changed the international thing to allow teams to have their bye. You can raise their hand, and that's all Jacksonville had to do this year to avoid the Ravens having to play off a bye, was to say, no, we don't want to, we want to have our bye immediately after our week 8 game in London. And I don't know why they didn't do that. It just hoses the Ravens. So they've done a number of things to fix the schedule. Why can you not fix this one simple thing about the buys? It's the biggest, most egregious thing in the schedules. The other thing is the Thursday games have got to properly rotate, or you've got to have 2 per year per team, 1 home run road. There's no other way to do it fairly. They do have it now, and correctly, they got it to the point where everybody plays 1 Thursday game per year. That's a good start, but one road is a hell of a lot worse than one home. It's a big scheduling difference. And then if you have divisional games in there, you further mess the thing up.
Yeah. I mean, it's just beyond me how some of those things haven't been structured in. And then you look at, I mean, we're a little tangential here, but then you look at some of these Monday night choice games and like, are you really telling me that New England, Arizona is like a premium Monday night game? New England and Chicago is a premium Monday night game?
Certainly not that one.
Look, they're both big markets, right? Ultimately, it's Boston versus Chicago, and that's the reason that's been selected for that game. Mm-hmm. But there's just such a farce behind their like justifications of some of this stuff. And I really just wish that like the NFL would own it and be like, we recognize it's not like, like, don't even try and tell me that you're trying to accomplish parity. Tell me that you're trying to make the most money, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that holds Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, going back to kind of the week 4 matchup back, is because they both play in markets that are not like premium top end markets. Like if Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were on the Giants and the Cowboys, that would be a primetime game. Hard stop, no questions asked, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, I just wish the NFL would be like a little bit more forthcoming that like, we're going to prioritize making money and giving networks what they want out of this to better leverage our future contracts than trying to create parity in the schedule and kind of giving us this fake mumbo jumbo.
Right. I mean, so much about the NFL is about parity, but the scheduling process itself is a complete flummoxing failure in that regard. It's just a bad situation. Okay, let's continue on. We're talking about the Ravens schedule. So they play Cincinnati in week 5, get an early game in against the Bengals. The Bengals will have an edge. by coming off that Thursday game. That's unfortunate. At least it'll be in Baltimore. Go to week six. An interesting scheduling quirk for the Ravens. The Ravens, of course, don't have a London game this year. No team in the AFC North does, so it's no divisional advantage from that. However, the Ravens will be playing the Giants, coming back from London off their week five game there. So that's a nice little advantage for the Ravens. And in fact, that London number of plus four that they've got in there in my formula is the largest single advantage they have, and about the only advantage they have over the rest of the division. Yes, in fact, the only advantage they have over the rest of the division.
Yeah, and that's the irony is it's against a team that's probably ultimately not going to be very good and didn't need, of all the moments of structural advantages that I would have wanted to pick on the schedule, the Giants might have been the last. Atlanta or New York Giants.
I mean, you know, you're playing an out-of-conference team at home in a game you should win, and your 82% chance to win the game went up to 86%.
I think it is in New York, though.
It is at New York.
That's the only silver lining to that. But it's just like, you know, of all the potential opportunities to like have a benefit, like, you know, Cincinnati gets to come have a mini bye and then play a massive divisional game, which at a point in the season where it could be, you know, really, you know, really an important game
for the first place, probably.
Yeah, and they've already got Pittsburgh early, and they get Dallas early. So there's a chance that this could be a really must-win game for Cincinnati. If for whatever reason they were to lose those two games, they could really be behind the eight ball. You know, having this short week against Miami, who knows? Like, anything can happen when they have those short weeks. It could just be a really big game for Cincinnati, and to structure that advantage in for them, is great for them, right? Like, whereas like the Ravens are not going to benefit from that from the Giants, but you know, it is what it is, I guess, as they say.
Right. It is what it is. So week seven, we're still playing Sunday at 1 o'clock football. Week seven, do they play a night game then? I'm not looking at the actual schedule.
No, I think it's not a primetime game.
Okay. So that Cleveland game, we're back to a regular game. That's always nice. You don't want to have irregularities. Nothing. Cleveland's not coming off a bye. Cleveland's not coming off a Thursday. Cleveland's also not coming off a Monday night. So anyway, just a regular game. Tampa Bay in week eight. Now this was, you know, an attempt to get a money game in there. Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady facing off on a Thursday night at Tampa. That's always bad to play your road games on a Thursday. Having one less day to prepare when you need a day of that to travel is very bad. So it's not what the Ravens want ever. Here's what's frustrating to me about this. The Ravens played on the road last year on Thursday. Why? Why ever should that happen 2 years in a row?
And, you know, the double down to that to me is also like this whole like promotion of safety, and like Thursday night games are already a doozy on these guys' bodies. Like, and the, like how they didn't add a second bye week when they added the 17th like game still eludes me, because that's probably more money for the NFL out of all things considered. So I just like that just struck me as peculiar why they never took that opportunity to do that. But then to make teams, you know, consecutively go on the road like that on Thursdays in those years, that's wear and tear on these guys. I mean, the wear and tear on an NFL player's body is legitimate to begin with. And anyone that says otherwise is really full of it. And I would strongly disagree with them. And like making these guys do that in this instance is just, I agree with you. Just it's structurally unfair.
Right. And obviously, the NFL has embraced Thursday games. Maybe it's time to embrace a second game every Thursday. I know I'm already completely cannot accept the Thursday Thanksgiving home game. I mean, I would if the Ravens had it, but it turns out the Lions and the Cowboys have it. I'm frustrated to hell that the two teams get to assign themselves that for all time, and the league tacitly approves it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So anyway, move on. Week nine, the Ravens play their Monday night game at New Orleans, their only Monday night game of the year. Nice thing from a scheduling perspective about this is that, you know, it's the week after Monday night that's tough. And if you have a bye, as the Ravens do, after Monday night, essentially means they have no Monday night games for the year. So they get a plus two in the scoring system for having essentially zero MNF games for the year. They don't have to play anyone coming off Monday night and give them an advantage. And, you know, the way these things have seemed to fall for the Ravens the last few years, it oftentimes is going to be a divisional opponent. I mean, there's already a 6-16 chance, right? That it'll be a divisional opponent. So it's, you know, it's not what you want. Week 10, the Ravens have the bye.
Now, well, and I just want to go back to the new. I think there's a big structural advantage here for the Ravens, right, in this schedule, this stretch of the schedule, including the bye. One is that this is probably right around the time that David Ajabo is going to be back, and a lot of these guys are going to be. You know, we've got so many guys that are coming off the IR and injury that there's a lot of rest post Tampa in these games. So we get an extra day on the Monday night game after the Tampa Thursday game. So there's actually like kind of 11 days between those games and then a bye on the other side of that. And New Orleans is a really tough place to go and play. So this idea that you have one extra day before you do go into New Orleans, and who knows what New Orleans is going to be like as a team this year. It's hard to say, but like having that extra day before you have to go into the Superdome, when you've got to go down there for a primetime game, both from a game planning and a health perspective, total win. And then, as you were just saying, you get the bye on the other side of that, all culminating right around kind of, I don't know, it just feels like that meaty part of the season where injuries start to pile up, and it's a good time to only have two games over the better part of 3 weeks.
Right.
It's so really you, stretched out, or three I and think, a half weeks.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were getting at, was the half bye after the Tampa game, too, was helping. And maybe some of the opponents in that part help too, that it's Carolina, Jacksonville, and even New Orleans themselves, you know, might help the Ravens in that sense. I don't know where the Ravens are going to be in terms of players on the PUP list that are going to be back at midseason, but there probably will be some of that. And it's easier to hide a player on the PUP list than it is to have to get them onto the roster where they can be returned from IR at any point, because then the Ravens have to find the offset veteran who will make himself available to the Levine deal, let's call it, where he's cut every year and then re-signed. The Ravens don't have as many of those guys as they used to. So it might have to be a younger guy. It might have to be, you know, a Christian Welch or somebody like that. And then when you do that, or Cologne, you risk that guy through waivers if he's in his first 4 years. So it's going to be more difficult for the Ravens to figure out how to do that this year, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and Mike Davis could be one of those guys, especially if he ends up being
a good
back. So he's a new veteran that's at the minimum. I don't know if cutting and bringing him back, if they lose that like veteran contract benefit. Okay.
Yeah. Or if they do, they haven't cared about it in the past, because there's a whole bunch of guys, McPhee and Levine and Richards and other people who all fit into the same category. Yeah. All right, let's keep going on. So week 10 is the bye. And what I did is I always like to figure out what's the average week of the bye and just subtract that from the bye week to determine how many points you get in this category. So the average bye week was 9.875 this year. Really strange, but six teams have their bye week in week 14, which almost seems like it's too late to help. It might never be too late, but it almost seems like that's too late to help. But I think the teams who have it probably are pretty happy they've got it that late in the season. And anyway, week 10, 10 is what I used because 9.875, I wanted to have an integer scoring system. So they get a zero. The Browns and Steelers get a minus one. The Bengals also have a zero for a week 10 bye, being just average. We play Carolina in week 11. You want to talk about that one?
No. I just think, you know, it's a good stretch of the season for the Ravens to get healthy. I don't remember. Has it always been the case that there isn't a bye on Thanksgiving for any team? I feel like I don't remember that being the case. But there's nobody on the bye, and I know that we're a little like just kind of discussing where bye weeks come in. There's nobody on the bye in week 12, week 12, which I thought was odd.
I think there might have been a skipped bye week last year, but I can't say if it was week 12. But now that you mention it, that would make the most sense as to the reasoning, is that they want to have Thanksgiving games for everybody. And so they keep it there. Yeah, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to look back now at 2021 and see what that looked like. So Carolina is coming off a half bye there. Ravens play them at home. They're coming off a full bye. The problem with this is, yes, Carolina, they don't get the value of coming off a half bye against the Ravens. The Ravens also don't get the full advantage of coming off the bye themselves. But the points take care of it with an offset in both directions. So hopefully the system is reflecting that to some degree. home game, at least. The next week, they're at Jacksonville. Interesting situation here is that Jacksonville, after their week 8 London game, could have taken their bye immediately then, chose not to do it because it's their option. And then that means the Ravens have to play them coming off a bye in week 12 because the Jacks has their bye in week 11.
Yeah, I can't possibly come to understand why a team wouldn't want to take the bye after traveling internationally. I just like having like travel a lot for work across multiple mm-hmm. time zones. I just can't wrap my head around that idea.
Yeah. I want to bye after brushing my teeth. I mean, I'm at that age, you know, so I can certainly understand why international traffic, international travel, you want to take a bye.
Yeah. So, going back to the Carolina game, for example, that's probably one of those where you're glad it's Carolina and not a different team that you're losing that advantage against. Mm-hmm. I think Jacksonville's a real wild card of a team because Trevor Lawrence could really develop and really come along, and like they could be a lot better than it seems like they would be. So this game, you know, early on the schedule has a little trappy feel to it a little bit because it's in Jacksonville. It's kind of, you know, in the middle of that stretch of the schedule. I think that's an interesting game to keep an eye on when the season rolls around.
The Ravens are perfectly capable of visiting a Florida team. In London, they lost 44-7 to the Jags. They had that abortion of a game in 2011 where they lost, 12-7?
I think it was 9-6, whatever it was. It was awful.
Let's forget that. Yes. So, a horrible game there as well. But they certainly have the ability. The Miami game last year, I'd almost put the same category as a game the Ravens should have won. But anyway, the Jacksonville game is what it is, and it'll be Jacksonville coming off a bye. Then they have a stretch of games where the schedule makers aren't doing anything to them. They play Denver at home. They play at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, home against Atlanta, and home against Pittsburgh in weeks 13 to 17.
So the Cleveland game could get flexed to Saturday, though. That's the start of when games on Sundays, because mm-hmm. college football has more or less wrapped up at that point, can start moving into Saturday. So don't count the schedule makers out for taking a day of rest away.
They still have a chance. Ravens,
you know, and being back-to-back on the road in Pittsburgh and Cleveland and potentially having one. And I know Cleveland would also – who are they playing the week before that?
Cleveland is playing Cincinnati the week before.
Okay, so they're not all that much more advantaged, I guess, in that regard. But, you know, it would be nice in that stretch not to have to see one less day of rest, because I would rather have a full week there and not have the extra day going into Atlanta, right? And instead of being worried about being flexed against Saturday, because Atlanta is another – hopefully layup game.
Right. They've done a lot of things with that. The key one that I remember in terms of a Saturday flex game was having to travel cross country in 2018 to go to that LA Chargers little dump of a soccer stadium to play that game on a Saturday. That meant everything to the Ravens. It meant everything to the Chargers too, but it meant everything to the Ravens in terms of making the playoffs. And fortunately they were able to win it. But, boy, that was not a good scheduling thing. And then, of course, they played the Chargers in the playoffs that year. And one of the things they could have done was force the Chargers to play at 1 p.m. on the first Saturday and travel cross country to do it. And I'm like, that's only fair after what we just had to go through to make the playoffs. And everybody said, no, that's way too unfair. No, they don't look at the ridiculousness of regular season scheduling to then schedule the postseason is what it comes down to.
But hopefully, as you said, this 13 to 17 week stretch, or week 13 to week 17 stretch, stays pretty normal. But that's, you know, that's as it should be. But, you know, we get a lot of divisional games squeezed mm-hmm. in there. I mean, there's going to be a lot on the line at this point, you know, of the schedule. And it's good that you know, we kind of have some of those buy and structural things kind of let in right before then. So hopefully, ideally, they're at least rested or healthy all in all once they get into this stretch.
Right. And I complain about it a little bit, but every team should play one team coming off a bye. And if you have to go on the road to play Jacksonville, that's a hell of a lot better than a really top-notch opponent. And we don't know. There are some good teams in here that we haven't identified as good teams at this point in the season. You're absolutely right to say it that way. That's why I don't really want to handicap the games. I want to handicap the schedule-making timing. You know, that's what I'm really trying to do with this. But in the case of who your bye comes across, keep those damn opponent byes out of the division. Keep those opponent half byes out of the division. Keep these Thursday games out of the division. And that's a start, at least. So anyway, the Ravens avoid that, and they have five straight weeks. They finish with 4-5 in the AFC North. Sorry. And the last week of the season, they actually get an advantage. They play against Cincinnati. There'll be an opponent Monday night game. So the Ravens get one of those. Now everybody gets one, so that's not an exceptional number, but it's against a divisional opponent, which means that really has additional subjective, or it's magnified in terms of the leverage of that game.
Yep. It's the only potentially the only bad part of Cincinnati's entire schedule.
Yeah.
Which is the ridiculousness of kind of how all these imbalances happen. It's like how that happens is just remains beyond me.
We will take a brief rundown of the highlights of the other divisional opponents, because in the end, all of your relative schedule advantages are relative to your conference and your divisional opponents primarily. So you need to win the division in the NFL to go very far. You want to certainly play one home playoff game at the minimum. But beyond that, you know, your conference opponents also you're competing against for the wild card, which is the last refuge of the scoundrel to get into the playoffs, but it's still, you know, what you need to do a lot of the time. Talking about these other teams is just upsetting me in the process here. The Steelers actually, okay, let's do this first. The Ravens' net score by my method is -2. Now, a typical team should be right around zero. That's all of the individual weightings of games net to zero for the entire NFL. And the exception was the bye week creates a bias of -0.0125, so just an eighth of a point negative. That kind of stuff is not important. The average score should be right around zero. And as it turns out, the Ravens have a zero score exactly before I turn in a subjective adjustment. And the subjective adjustment is that they got boned by a half bye to Cincinnati, offset maybe by the fact that they got a 1 day less rest versus Cincinnati in another game. And then they play, of course, a road Thursday game and the net of other things that go in there. But the subjective score is basically based on the division is -2 as I have it. The other teams in the division, So that's the Ravens total becomes -2, slightly below average in terms of the timing that they could have expected for the schedule. The Steelers got the absolute rifle butt end of the scheduling this year. They faced two teams coming off a bye. Absolutely no excuse. Doesn't matter that it's the Steelers. I still hate it, guys. Just beyond ridiculous. And one of them is Cincinnati. So they kept it in the division as well. That's additional negative subjective points. Actually bind the subjective score between +5 and -5 only, but that's so bad for the Steelers to be playing Cincinnati coming off a bye like last year the Ravens did. It's a -5 all by itself. They have other negative things in their schedule too, but that was huge. So between those two elements, they get to -12. The Browns have the second easiest schedule in the division. And they're all the way up at +9. So basically you have the Steelers way down at floor level. You go up about a foot and a half, you get to the Ravens level. Go up another foot and a half, and you're at the Browns level at +9. The big advantages on the Browns schedule, well, it's a little bit of everything. They play home on Thursday. They play no opponent coming off a Thursday game. They play one Monday night game, but they have their bye immediately after it. So like the Ravens, they essentially play no Monday night game. So that's an advantage. And they have some divisional advantages included in that. Most specifically, they play Pittsburgh at home on their Thursday game. So I gave them a +2 in terms of his objective for a +9 total.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's wild to me that these things can happen within a division. That it's even if you wanted to disadvantage an entire division completely, like, you know, that'd sure. be one thing. But like this, these are the kind of things like that have very real influence you know, placement in the playoffs and more. And it's just, I just every year I'm always, my mind is always boggled. And like you were saying, as it relates to the Steelers kind of getting hosed in this, like it boggles my mind that like, this is just this one that is so glorified by the NFL. Like we're having a podcast, so like we're part of the problem, right? But that it's so glorified by the NFL that they're going to release the schedule, even though we know who is playing whom and where across the board. And then B, that like the parity is not a priority. It just, I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, if all, you know, I would accept this from the NFL. You don't even have to match up every single bye week. Implement a formula like I'm giving you here, not this exact formula, but some formula, which, you know, creates a schedule fairness score for each team. And try and get them within a reasonable bound. And if everybody is between, you know, +3 and -3, okay, no problem. But, you know, having the Browns at +9 and the Bengals now at +13 does not make any sense at all in terms of schedule fairness. The Bengals, now, you're going to love this. The Bengals did not play a single team coming off a bye. That gives them a 7-point advantage over the Browns and Ravens and a 14-point advantage over the Steelers. That is most of the difference between these schedules we're talking about. But they also impose their will within the division by getting to play, let's see, the Ravens on their half bye. So that was a big advantage. They play a home game against Miami on a Thursday, so they didn't have to play a road game there. And there was another thing related to the Steelers that I thought was to their advantage. I'm trying to figure out what that is. Oh, yeah, they play Pittsburgh after they come off their bye. It's not Pittsburgh's bye, it's their bye. So that's a magnified divisional advantage right there as well. So I give them the maximum possible subjective score inside that because a lot of their advantages came against the division.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me that this happens. And especially, you know, especially when you've got like kind of like a darling moment for, and you know, I guess I would have to go back and look at like the 2020 schedule for Baltimore to know whether or not I don't recall them getting kind of like, you know, having any additional advantages or kind of buzz, but
in 21.
Yeah. In 2020, right. Because so coming off the 2019 year where they were the one seed, Lamar won the unanimous MVP, just felt like they had like a lot of momentum moving forward. You know, it just feels like all the buzz is about the Bengals in the bigger picture. And so like, it's not surprising to me that the NFL would want the team that has that kind of cachet or whatever you want to call it, be the team that gets that benefit.
Yeah. I want to look this up quickly enough, but I'm not sure I can get there. Think about it, but I've done the scoring method for years. So I do have it. Come on. No, I can't get it up.
Anyway, it feels like there's just so much kind of positivity being kind of laid in the Bengals direction that I'm annoyed by them.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we've whined and moaned enough about this, but just remember, it's not about who they're playing. We're not trying to handicap games or how good the teams are. All that's determined. The only impact the schedule makers have is the when. And so that's the only discussion we're really having here. Now, we've added some other points and, you know, about how good we think these teams are and what's a marquee matchup and this and that. But, you know, schedule makers just need to make the win fair. That's all they really need to do, except they really have a larger mission that is more significant to the league, of course.
But, you know, the other thing I would say about the Ravens schedule that we didn't kind of specifically say is that just generally speaking, it's a pretty balanced schedule. There's not like a huge stretch of like road games. There's not a huge stretch of divisional games. There's not that like weird like Cleveland bye
like that
bullshit that was last year. So a lot of that stuff is kind of been pulled out of the schedule. And in a season when you have the odd number or the higher number of road games, right, for the new structural 17th game setting, you're at a little bit more risk of like running like a 3 or 4 game stretch of road games. And good point. We're lucky that that didn't happen.
Yeah, really, really good point. And in fact, I think the Ravens are a little lucky to have the out-of-conference divisional matchup with the South this year, which is not a lot of travel time. The East would have worked too, but the South is exceptionally good for being all in the same time zone and nobody's too damn far away. That they don't have to travel too much in total. And so when you have 9 road games, it's really nice to have not too much total travel time involved in 9 games as opposed to 8.
Yeah, I totally agree. Why am I not remembering this? Who's the extra team?
The Giants.
The Giants. Okay.
Yeah. So in fact, I did a little pod with some Giants people, and they were upset that they were getting the Ravens 2 years in a row after they played the they played them last year. So. All right. Well, outstanding. Jordan, thanks so much for coming on and doing this. Tell folks where they can find your work online.
Yeah, you guys can check us out on the Situation Room. We got our podcast up there on filmstudybaltimore.com. I'm on Twitter at RavensSitRoom, and my co-host Gabe Ferguson's at Gabe Fergie. We'd love if you guys tuned in. We try and break down the games each week, talk a little bit about the strategy, play calls, and some of that kind of stuff right out of the gate, right after the game. So love to see you there.
Make sure you give these guys a follow. They're high quality. On a podcast, it's almost like this is not the best place to ask people to follow you because they're not at a computer. Most of people are listening on their phone and they're running or they're in the car or whatever. But anyway, at Ravens Sit Room and at Gabe Fergie, make sure you give them a pod. And the current one is out there right now. So you guys just produced one, a day or two ago, right?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about value in the draft and tried to really break down the draft picks by like what the meaningful value was for those like the position and the ranking and like where all the pre-draft stuff was and take a look at it from a little bit of a different angle.
All right. Very good. The topic's been discussed a lot by a lot of people, but there aren't too many people who can discuss it better than Jordan and Gabe can. And that's why I have them on the show so frequently to have this similar discussions with me. Other folks out there who want to be on a film study short, it's that time of year. I'm looking for content. Always happy to have people who have any kind of new idea or scheme. Had somebody just do a very interesting breakdown with me today about how to interpret coach speak, basically. It's extremely well done. I hope you guys will look forward to it. We actually cut it up into 2 episodes because it's very well done. But the first episode is really about coach speak, and in this case, GM speak after the draft. What does it mean? How are we supposed to interpret it? Was he telling the truth? That sort of thing. And I think it's really good stuff. Jordan, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me again. Always happy to be here.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.